This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Stevie. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. This is an example of the many insurance needs that we all have, and it's not just an insurance need, it's multiple insurance needs. You need somebody that can handle all of them, keep it organized, make sure you're fully insured, do everything they can to save you money, and go with people with customer service where it means everything to the company. Because we know customer service means everything to you, but it has to mean everything to the people you're dealing with, and that's Purdy Insurance. Market Street, Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. With that, we bring in the best in the business, Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is more than my pleasure to be here. I hope you guys are having a fantastic afternoon.
So far, so good. And I want to start with this. I was talking to my class on Monday morning, and sometimes it's a little difficult because Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, his daughter is in my class. Okay. But I said, that game on Sunday is an example of what I've tried to tell you all the time in this analytics world. There are multiple ways to win games. That was one of them. Is that a fair assessment of what we saw Sunday?
I'm not sure you could describe it any other way. I also would point out that this is a team that's won this way twice this season.
Yes.
And it's something that's never happened. I think maybe it happened a couple times before. I remember a game back in 2015, I think Boswell hit six field goals to beat the Bengals, like 18-14 or something like that. Yeah. It was a remarkable display of what we have come to recognize as quintessential Steelers football, whatever way is not traditional. I put it this way. I said before the game, I picked the Ravens to pull away late in this one and take it by like two touchdowns. I said, you're a home underdog. You want to win that game. This is basically what needs to happen. You need to be plus two in turnovers and have no more than one yourself.
Yep.
You need to be able to hit the quarterback. You have to stop the run, and you probably have to make a splash on special teams in some way. To be fair, I meant a blocked kick. I meant a punt return, something like that. I did not mean your kicker going lights out, six for six, three of which over 50 yards or whatever it was. They checked all of those boxes. And exactly to your point, the Steelers are finding ways to win these games in the aggregate. They don't look like the way everybody else wins. We shouldn't be surprised, though. It's been 4 years of this in Pittsburgh. They have a quarterback who tends to play, you know, better than not. I don't think this was Russell Wilson's best game, but they're used to that. You know, it's almost beneficial in a way for them to not get quality play from their quarterback, because for some reason opposing quarterbacks just stop performing well against them by and large. It doesn't feel like it's forced defensively. Receivers drop passes in key situations. We saw that again with Baltimore. It had to be an infuriating game to watch back for Baltimore, and it wasn't a great one for Pittsburgh either, but they found a way to make the plays at the end the way that they do, because as Mike Tomlin would say, they don't blink. They're used to this. This is their style of football, and they trap somebody else at the bottom of the ocean floor and you know, won a game that on paper they shouldn't have.
Well, and again, they made the plays when they had to, and they did it in such a way where Lamar Jackson did not seem to have the freedom to make plays that he has against other teams. Is that how you view how he has played against the Steelers, that the Steelers take away his freedom to make plays?
They really don't want him to run. outside of plan situations, and they didn't plan him to run a whole lot. The first play I think of, at least, the 2-point conversion, something went wrong with that. There were two tight ends that both sat down behind the flow of the play. I think only one of them was supposed to do that, and the other one was supposed to drag with him. That wasn't there for whatever reason. But when you have, I don't know if you watched that play back or not, but what you saw in that really was excellent communication between Nick Herbig on the line, Joey Porter on the edge after the motion, and Dante Jackson, who had the inside receiver. Yep. There are three guys there, and it's almost as if all three of them said, whoever is coming out here is not going to matter at all. This play is going to come from behind us, but we have to own the edge. We have to set that right now. And if they want to block Nick Herbig with a tight end who's facing in line at the snap, okay, you know, Herbig's going to blow that up. It flattened Jackson out, so he didn't have that initial burst to the edge. Porter cut off the rest of it, and for whatever reason, there wasn't a receiver there for him to throw to. He had nowhere to go. The Steelers were on top of that immediately. And it's funny to me, because for a team that still struggles to pick up third and short through a show of brute force the way you think that they would be able to, in this game, they shut down the most dynamic player in the NFL, largely just by winning their angle, winning their one-on-one, their assignment. And for the Steelers, I think the value of that is they can cut Lamar Jackson off. They have that confidence to you know, I don't want to say make him one-dimensional, but they really didn't let him dictate terms a whole lot in the game. He was getting going there for a little bit. They'd shut him down. Peyton Wilson made the play of his career. I still don't know how he came down with that ball. Absolutely incredible interception that swung momentum back into Pittsburgh's favor. They are able to make a play on Lamar or do something schematically against him that doesn't allow him to get going. It doesn't allow him to become the MVP of the league like he has been and like he might be again. I call that snake bit, call that kryptonite, whatever cliche you want to use. The Steelers know how to basically make him play left-handed, and he doesn't seem to like it. You know, I was joking with people before the game. What we should have done prior to this was go back and count how many sideline helmet throws Lamar Jackson has had against Pittsburgh, because it's got to be five or six of them. And if the Steelers can get that type of reaction out of him again, they can win. It almost seems now like he's more resigned to his fate. You know, he can't play the game the way he wants to against the Steelers team, and there are a variety of reasons for that. Overall talent, though, really isn't one of them. I gotta tell you, they have a legendary offense. Those guys are really, really good, and Pittsburgh just finds ways to keep them in the garage for four quarters.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I also think because they do, I think it affects to some point the decision-making of John Harbaugh and Jeff Monken as to what they do with that offense. I think they make a couple of decisions because for one of the few times on offense, they get a little bit of desperate, right? And they're trying to figure out what to do, and I think it affects them. And of all the days, Justin Tucker, who's had an up-and-down season for the first time in his life, the Hall of Fame kicker, if he makes two, we're talking about a different story here.
Yeah, there's a similar story coming out of six of the last seven games that these teams have played. It's remarkable. Baltimore just falls short in one or multiple areas against the Steelers, and they lose games that, you know, you look back on and you probably think they should have won. I hate getting into the woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff, but yeah, Tucker doesn't miss those field goals. Not that they're gimmies in Pittsburgh, but I did find it interesting. I think, you know, maybe it's a kicker who's not speaking to the media a whole lot. He probably, you know, spoke a little bit too much talking about the conditions of the field, or at the very least, he's answering the question that he was asked. But to say that when you're arch rival, if you want to call him that, in other words, typically between those two, they're strong candidates for first and second team All-Pro each of the last four or five seasons. When Boswell is the MVP of the game, he hit six of them. You're going to complain about the conditions when you miss two. That seems out of place. It seems out of character. And that, to me, I think it's a good metaphor for the game. conditions or otherwise, he's played in worse there, and he's hit bigger kicks there. So I'm not sure what's going on with Tucker, but what I know is that when you lose it as a kicker, you lose it. You don't get it back. You know, to bring up a familiar name for Steelers fans, Mike Vanderjagt was at that point in 2005 playoffs the most accurate kicker in NFL history. He missed that kick against the Steelers, and he never recovered, never came back. He was terrible for Dallas in a couple games, and he was done. He doesn't even speak to the media anymore. It's clear and obvious that that kick affected him. I'm not suggesting that anything happened with Tucker, but it's an extremely sharp mental edge that you have to have as a kicker, that high-level muscle memory. It takes a lot to stay at the point that Tucker has. He absolutely is a Hall of Fame kicker. If there ever was a Hall of Fame kicker, it's him. To see him kind of combusting the season is a little strange. They got an interesting decision ahead of him. You can't keep that guy for $5 million next year. They're not going to do that. So not if he's making 15 or 20 on the season. That's just not going to happen. He can fight a lot of guys for, you know, 4% of the price to do that. But Tucker, among everyone else, really, with the Ravens, there are just things that they don't normally do that seem to come out against the Steelers. That's the way that it's been.
Since 2019, Carolina Panthers have the worst record in the NFL. They have won 29%. Jacksonville Jaguars have won since 2019, 32%. Also at 32% are the New York Football Jets. Today they fired their general manager, Joe Douglas. Phil Savage, friend of the show, takes over as the interim GM. When you look at Joe Douglas's tenure with the Jets, give me a list of the decisions that made you sit back in your office and go, really?
It's a good question.
It's a list.
I think in terms of roster construction, I think they made good decisions. They brought in good players. I think, like any general manager, and with the general manager, the head coach, your fate largely depends on your ability to solve the quarterback question early in your tenure.
Yes.
Because you don't get long tenure without that position. So, obviously, you've got to look at the Zach Wilson decision as being, you know, the linchpin of the whole thing. That didn't work out very well. I would like to rip Joe Douglas for that, but what I said was Trey Lance is the guy they should have selected. I'm not sure that would have been a good pick either. You know, I don't want to say that a multi-million-dollar position overseeing a multi-billion-dollar team within you know, one of the most powerful sporting organizations on earth, it comes down to luck. But timing is a significant part of that. Your ability to draft second in a two-quarterback draft speaks volumes to where you're going to go as a franchise. If you can't do that, however, if you can't move up, if you can't get that player, and that player turns out to not be what you need him to be, you've got to get a lot of other things going in your favor in order to win. And I think the Jets, you know, you can't ignore how good Sauce Gardner has been. You can't ignore Garrett Wilson. They've put players on the field that can play. You know, Eden Prairie, Minnesota's own Jeremiah Johnson's a great player. He got hurt early on this season. Hasn't had a great chance to contribute on a team that defensively, prior to firing Robert Saleh, they played pretty good ball. Everything they did was hooked into Aaron Rodgers, and there's the big elephant in the room. You made up for one mistake by bringing in an enormous mistake, in my opinion. And I'm on the record. You know that. I said this at the time. You don't get better at playing football by not playing football. Aaron Rodgers was in decline. He got hurt. It's over at that point, in my opinion. You're getting probably better than what you normally would get out of a quarterback at that age who hasn't played. That's not going to continue. They're on the hook for a huge amount of money. Prior to all this, they went out and got Devontae Adams for some reason. I have no idea why they would have wanted to do that, except they're letting Aaron Rodgers call all the shots. So if you're Joe Douglas, you're probably happy to get out of there, get some time off, getting paid by the Jets. pick up a consultant gig somewhere for the playoffs, make a few more dollars, see what you can do with the rest of your career, while the Jets are going to once again completely blow themselves up and figure out where they're going to go moving forward. But again, it's going to come down to the same thing. You need to have that quarterback, and they currently don't have it. They might be in position to draft one, but it's the same question. How do you develop them? Who is it going to be? Are they the right fit with whoever you bring in as head coach or general manager? If it's not going to be Phil Savage moving forward, you have to have a marriage between those parts. All those things need to come together in order for you to have success. And, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy is a great example in San Francisco. It doesn't work out with Trey Lance, but they get, pretty solid quarterback in Purdy. Are you complaining about Trey Lance going third overall if he's putting up Purdy's numbers? No, not at all. They were able to make hay out of the quarterback position there because they have a coach with the right quarterback that they developed and they built up. The Jets just simply failed to do that and are still continuing to fail to do that. If Joe Douglas, I don't think that he was, but if he was personally responsible for allowing Aaron Rodgers to dictate terms over their franchise for the last 2 years, I'd say that's his number one failure, but I'm going to guess that was not his choice. And I think the owner himself has created this quagmire of issues among his own team, and it was a matter of time until Douglas was going to get fired. For whatever reason that came today, I couldn't tell you, but there's a laundry list of issues that they're just not fixed. They're not going to be able to fix with what they have. They have to blow everything up and try to figure out how to start over.
Yeah, because as you pointed out, it's not like they don't have talent. Gardner's really good.
Good players on that team.
Right. Moseley's really good. I mean, they got some CJ. I mean, he can play. Garrett Wilson's really good. I mean, Adams, I think, is past his prime. Rodgers is well past. All right. The running back isn't bad at all. And for some reason, they can't see. And they spent a lot of money, by the way, on the offensive line in the offseason to protect him. And you're right. He's the elephant in the room. And would like to point out that you and I, for years, praised Aaron Rodgers, okay? Because he's worthy of it. Well, now he's playing like a 40-year-old guy coming off an Achilles, and guess what? That doesn't work.
It absolutely doesn't work, and I not to point it out, but the basis of my issue with Rodgers as far as the trade to the Jets was rooted in the fact that pre-injury, his last year in Green Bay, he didn't look all that good.
No.
Plenty of telltale signs that, I'm not so sure about this anymore. It's kind of like, I don't want to make a comparison between the two, but you saw the amount of punishment that Cam Newton took in his career. Take that version of Cam Newton, which is really to say he's losing his mobility, his foot speed, his ability to get out of the pocket and make plays.
Yep.
Take that away from him. Who is he?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Guy. Rodgers is no faster than Russell Wilson is, who can barely move. He can't escape a rush, as we saw plenty of times this past weekend. When you don't have that anymore, you have to reinvent yourself purely as a passer. And that's not the easiest thing to do with how fast NFL defenses are today. You're not seeing the statuesque pocket passers have as much success. Rodgers does not know how to be that quarterback. He's a phenomenally talented thrower of the football, but his lower body is not the same as it used to be. I don't care what he says. I don't care what hut he spent 3 days in. He's not the same passer that he used to be at all. And he doesn't know how to play the game without that. And that's really what the problem is. You set up an offense for a player to do certain things, and Rodgers can't do them. And he thinks that he can, and they're paying him a ton of money to be able to do it, but it's taken him way too long to figure out. I'm not saying it's all on him. There have been other issues on that team, but they've gone after every issue that, in my opinion, is minor compared to the quarterback that can't really play.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of the general manager now is not even deck chairs on the Titanic. I don't know what else you want to do unless it's just plain and simple. We can't stand to see this guy anymore. It doesn't work anymore. We got to go because we're blowing this whole thing up. Rodgers may have to be a part of that as well. I don't know the whole teardown, but not too many general managers are going to want to be forced to have Aaron Rodgers at $50 million or whatever he's going to be paid next year.
In three seasons leading up to his last season in Green Bay, Rodgers threw 13 interceptions total his last season in Green Bay. Again, 13 total in three seasons. His last season, he threw 12. Just to amplify your point. Neil, thanks so much. Once again, you know, I throw the fastballs and you drive them in the home run derby out of the park.
I just got a swing. I appreciate the pitches. Thanks
hey,
for having me, guys.
You're the best. See ya. Neil Coulon joining us in this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll take care of all your insurance needs and save you money because customer service is number one to them. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.